From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, we have the AI in LED survey series and the next instalment of that. So it's this one's called 2025, The Race for Impact. So it's written by Donald Taylor and Egle, I hope I've got that nearly right. And it is quite a hefty tome. It's like 58 pages. It's got survey feedback from about around 600 learning professionals from around the world. And it also has six very interesting case studies as a part of it. And it's basically looking at, again, the sort of state of play of AI in L&D. But this time it's talking about usage. Bearing in mind, this series has been going for a couple of years now, so it does have a bit more of a longitudinal feel to it. But it's saying there's a turning point. And it's quite interesting because I think the turning point actually comes out of some of the case studies rather than the data. I don't think anyone would be overly surprised by the data, which basically shows that L&D teams are using generative AI tools to create learning content, do learning design tasks, administrative tasks, researching the subject, some data analysis, user research, translation, personalization. You know, it's all in the knowledge acquisition part of the kind of adult learning cycle, if you like. But I didn't think that bit was very surprising. Nigel, what did you think?
I agree. When it says in the right at the very beginning that 58% of people are using generative AI for the first time in our survey, my immediate reaction was, wow, that's amazing. It was exactly the opposite, which was, how come 42% aren't? I don't know anybody who's not using generative AI with permission or without permission. And those organizations that are still locked down, people just use it themselves to help do all the things that the report talks about. So I thought that was a bit underwhelming. And I also thought that it still talks about content as being AI's a rival in the delivery of content or the manufacture of content. Whereas I would say it's a blessing that pain in the neck is taken away and we can focus on all sorts of other things, and we can get at some of the exciting stuff that's actually going on in organizations that is informal, social, is emerging, is knowing. It's not explicit knowledge, which is largely what content is based on. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded by of Cory Doctorow, who wrote an article in Medium recently, saying that, yes, AI can gobble up all of the received knowledge. It's all out there. Patents, content, everything that's published, and it will get there faster than any human being. But what it can never get is the process knowledge, the lived experience of in organizations, and the process knowledge is where it's at. And in some ways, that's exactly what I was trying to say in my book, that it's all about exploring all of those understandings and confusions that are churning away inside organizations. If you can move those around, and you can make some decisions based on them, you're ahead of the game. To me, it's a blessing in a way that AI can do all this obvious stuff. And it's also a blessing that it can't do the emerging stuff, because it's only AI, it only looks backwards, whereas human beings are in the churn and they look forwards. I thought, like you, Martin, that the case studies are fascinating. There's glimpses of the future in those case studies. And how many of them say we're going to do content different, faster, bigger, or whatever? It's quite the opposite. So yes, I think it's a great report. I'm really pleased it's there, and I think it's challenging. I think it's really comprehensive, and there is detailed analysis, which I find extremely helpful. So it's L&D's future in an AI world. There is promise. I'm not so sure about the threat. I'm really not so sure about the threat. Most of the big L&D teams I talk to see AI as the best friend ever because it gets rid of all the rubbish, all the boring routine, all the things they had to put loads of people to manage and admin and crunch, does it all for you so they can focus on the really big stuff, which is what does this organization need? How can we contribute to it achieving its objectives? So that would be my divergence. But it's only when you read the report that you begin to think really deeply about, so where does it all go? Where does it all go?
Yeah. I mean, I think we were saying before we started recording, I was talking about the fact that I think this is, it does have quite a silo feel to it. And that raises some red flags for me because we know there was another analysis from Fosway about learning technology roadmaps and around AI. And really, the bulk of that is all at the knowledge and content end. And that's just going to be playing out. Whilst at the same time, I think there's this whole, what I'd call like shadow L&D, where people in the organization are using these tools to do great stuff and really change the way they're working and having some interesting outputs. And my concern is that the L&D needs to have a much broader perspective and be outside of the bubble to really A, harness what's going on in your organization in a way that you're talking about, all that sort of tacit stuff, but also to be able to have a role in what is going on in terms of a more senior level. It is a concern, I think, that it becomes too inward focused at the moment, doing smart stuff with content. And that seems to be where a lot of people are at. But in the case studies, there was one case study that really stood out for me for the consulting firm Layton, and they were basically using AI at a real bottom-up level. So it's like transforming how learning is done in the organization. And that meant people trying stuff out and just generating lots of tools from workers to solve specific issues and then develop those and be able to share those across the organization. It's a completely different approach. So I think you're right. I think there's some hope in this, but I do think that it feels like there needs to be much more questioning of the legacy of learning and development and a far more future-focused view of the potential. And it's beyond the silo, I think.
I think so. I really believe that if L&D doesn't do what the organizations need it to do, then nature abhors a vacuum. Other people, other parts of the organization will get on and do it, and L&D will make itself irrelevant. At a time when learning is critical and social learning is massively critical, as organizations are rocked, how do they respond? They respond by getting into a huddle, looking at the outside world. What's going out there? What are other people doing? How can we make tentative decisions? What experiments can we run? That all involves a different kind of mindset to one where you just say, let's give them a course. Because the time you've given them a course, it's mostly utterly irrelevant unless it's some kind of validation or some kind of assessment or it's some kind of compliance that's required. That doesn't go away, but it's not. It becomes less mainstream because I just talked to the CEO of Joggle, that the organization which has set up bots that crawl all over your internal information. And therefore, if you're sitting there live with a customer and someone asks an impossible question, you just put it into Joggle. It goes away and finds out this is the policy, this is what's been done, this is what you should do. And so you don't necessarily need tons of compliance classes to help people be compliant. You've got a whole performance support infrastructure. So I think it is from someone, I was on a call with GP Strategies last night, and someone said, do we really need to talk about learning? Should we not just talk about performance? And learning is an embedded part of performance, but outer manifestation is how are we performing in this incredibly complex, weird world where nothing is sure and everything is changing. And learning is the only way we're going to get through this, but not formal, course-based, slow, even if AI has developed it. It's informal, really fast. Velocity is increasing and relevant based on evidence that is dragged from wherever it can be dragged from. And it's empowering. So it helps people make effective decisions. So you've got a whole L&D operation, which are facilitators and enablers. That's a great role because you're at the heart of everything. You're not developers and deliverers on the margins of everything. That's where I see it going. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Well, look, it's a really interesting report, and it sparked a lot of debate amongst us, and also sparked a lot of ideas for what the future could look like, and also where things may need to change. So, Nigel, I think that's been excellent. So, thanks for that, and we'll put the link around the to the research around the podcast episode, but it's all free to download. So, I'd go and have a look at it. Thanks, Nigel.
You definitely download it. Thanks very much, Martin, as always.
From scratch.